Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington, working on this program via remote. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Friday, April 8, 2022. Some Sudanese communities living in Europe staged a demonstration in front of the offices of the International Criminal Court at The Hague.
This rally is organized by Sudanese Democratic Forum in the Netherlands and Sudanese Association Diaspora in Europe. So the aims of this rally is to support the trial of Ali Kouachev, who has been in the trial now from 5th of April.
And a Sudanese activist participating in a demonstration in The Hague says former Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir should be handed over to the ICC.
We are demanding handover of all criminals, especially al-Bashir, the president, and Abdulrahim Mohamed Hussein and Ahmed Haroun and the others.
We'll have these stories and an exclusive coverage from The Hague coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Around 30 Sudanese gathered in front of the offices of the International Criminal Court in Hague to protest the absence of former Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir at the trial of Ali Kouachev. South Sudan in Focus reporter Khalid Abdallah is in The Hague. I reached him by phone for the latest on the demonstration.
Sudanese are gathering here before the ICC in The Hague. And this rally is organized by Sudanese Democratic Forum in the Netherlands and Sudanese Association Diaspora in Europe. So the aims of this rally is to support the trial of Ali Kouachev, who has been in the trial now from 5th of April 2022 at the court. And they also give a memorandum to the International Criminal Court, aiming to expand the investigations. As you know, that the International Criminal Court is investigating only in six places in Western Darfur, that is Bindisi and Mukyar and Arwala and Arwala and Dileit and other two places. So they want the International Criminal Court to expand their investigations to include also crimes that has been happening through across Darfur from 2003, and also to include the attack on sitting in front of the headquarters of Sudanese Army in 2019. So that is the main purpose of the rally that being held here.
Yeah, from your interaction with the leaders of the rally, are there any mentions of other people who have been indicted by ICC and they are not at The Hague? We're talking here of someone like the former president Omar al-Bashir and the former governor of Southern Kordofan. Are there any calls for their arrest or for their, you know, trial to start?
Well, they included in their memorandum that the government of Sudan and the ICC should accelerate their efforts to surrender Bashir and Ali Bashir and Ahmed Haroun, and also Abdurrahim Mohamed Hussein, who are indicted by the ICC. So that is well written on their memorandum, and now here they are shouting also to surrender Bashir and his followers to that.
What else are you seeing there? What are the slogans reading? I mean, you know, when there are demonstrations, people carry slogans with them. What are you seeing on the slogans?
Yeah, the slogan, they just shouting that Bashir to ICC, Abdurrahim Mohamed Hussein to ICC, and Ahmed Haroun to ICC, and this is new also, they calling the names of Hemeti and Burhan to ICC, so that is the main shouting, and also peace and justice and freedom for Sudan. So that is the main slogans here.
That's Khalid Abdallah, South Sudan in Focus reporter in the Netherlands. He was speaking with me in front of the ICC office at The Hague, where Sudanese are protesting. Some of the protesters traveled from all over Europe to show support to the ongoing trial of Sudanese paramilitary leader Ali Mohammed Ali Abdelrahma, also known as Ali Kusheb, on charges of crimes committed in Darfur. I managed to speak to one activist who traveled from Germany to attend the protest at Hague.
I'm Iman Stefadin, and I'm activist from Darfur. I am basically by my education, I am lecturer. I did my degree in environmental science, but I am an activist, political activist, and human rights activist. I work in the area of Darfur and migrants here in Europe. I'm based in Germany, but I am here in Netherlands because of the start of the trial of Ali Kusheb.
Talk to me about what is happening today. Why are you gathering in front of The Hague?
We are gathering here because we would like to support the issue of the trial, the victims of Darfur, the victims of genocide, and we would like also to extend our support to the families of the martyrs, those who have been killed in the sitting or in front of the military headquarters in Sudan in 2019. And we are here gathering to demand justice for them. We are gathering to support the families. We are here to demand peace for Sudan. We are here to demand also end up of the coup of the 25th of October that has took place and disrupted the democratic process in Sudan.
But there is only one person who is on trial here, at The Hague. What are you people talking about, those who are not here? There are many people who are on the list of ICC and they are not in Hague.
Yes, we are demanding the handover of all criminals, especially al-Bashir, the president, and Abdulrahim Mohamed Hussein and Ahmed Haroun and others, all of them to be forwarded to justice here in The Hague. And we would like also to extend to demand from the court to trial the other criminals, because the genocide in Darfur and the crimes that now are committed in Sudan is not done by those few people. It's a list of long people who have been committing crimes since a very long time. You can say from independence, we have been people who have been committing crimes. But lately in Darfur, 20 years ago, they have been committing genocide, war crimes, and crimes against humanity and rape crimes. And in 2019, during the revolution, they have committed rape crimes, and they are still committing crimes, shooting the innocent protesters on the streets and killing them. It's a long array of crimes, and a lot of people who have been involved, especially the government officials, the military, and the Janjaweed militias. Name it, you can say the RSF also involved heavily in these crimes.
That is Ahmad Sefadin, an activist from Darfur. She was speaking with me from Hague earlier today. Other activists also traveled from the United States to The Hague to offer support to the trial of Sudanese militia leader Ali Mohammed Abdelrahma, also known as Ali Kusheb, on charges of war crimes allegedly committed in Darfur. Naimat Ahmad, president of Darfur Women's Action Group, is in The Hague to follow the trial and has been invited to speak at the protest today. She tells Nabil Biejo, protesters gathered in solidarity with the victims of war crime in Darfur.
There is a large protest today by Sudanese from Europe, from across various countries in Europe, came to The Hague in the Netherlands in conjunction with the trial of Ali Kusheb, because they wanted to support the process and show that the Sudanese are in support of the trial and accountability for crimes committed against Darfur, but in general for accountability in Sudan. And they also want to raise concern about the ongoing violence against protesters and the escalation of violence in areas like Darfur, South Kurdistan, and the Blue Nile, but also the excessive force, use of force by the government against protesters.
I understand you've been invited to speak at the protest today. as a representative of your organization, the Darfur Women Action Group. What are the priorities of your organization in connection with the ongoing trial? What message are you going to be sending?
My message is that this trial is an important milestone in our fight for justice, even though it has come so late, but it is significantly important because of the immunity that crimes have continued. It has been 20 years since the genocide in Darfur started. It has been 17 years since the UN Security Council referred the case of Darfur, and it has been 15 years since Ali Khosheb was indicted, and there are many other officials who have been indicted, but they've never been brought to the head-to-face trial. So that's why this is really important for us, that it is the beginning of the journey that may be long, but it will be extremely important to set the foundation for justice in Sudan, because there has been so many atrocities, including the right now, the current atrocities that are going on across the Sudan, including Darfur and the center of Sudan, including the capital, but no one has been brought to justice. So immunity becomes unbelievably uniform in Sudan, and we think this will change that. And then we also, our message is also to the international community that it's important to try Ali Khosheb, but it is more important to pursue others who have been indicted by the International Criminal Court and have yet to be brought to face trial, because we don't want people to perceive the court as that they only do justice selectively by bringing the low-level criminals and leaving the most powerful and most responsible of most serious international crimes, such as Bashir, Haroon, and Hussein. And we want to send a clear message that Sudanese want justice.
And someone would say a trial is already underway. This guy has been, Ali Khosheb has been brought to the court. And what is the use of protests? Are you trying to pressure the court, for example, to achieve a certain verdict in this case?
First, to show solidarity, because of the division and because of the message that there are different signals that the government is sending in Sudan, against the court and also against the process of accountability, to show solidarity and say that we are all in support of the trial of Ali Khosheb, but also to give more support to the court to know that they are doing the right thing.
We are now like 3 days into the trial since it began. How do you and Sudanese that you meet in The Hague and at the court see this trial ending? Do you see justice achieved by the end of the day?
Yes, absolutely. This is something also personally to me as someone from Darfur who have been through, even though my case may not be under our Khosheb, but as an advocate for justice, I see that there are qualified people, and from both sides, the victims' representative, the prosecution team, and also even the criminal has their defense. So what I am optimistic about it is the court treat people with dignity, in both the perpetrators and the victims.
That was Naimat Ahmadi, president of the Darfur Women's Action Group, speaking with my colleague Nabil Biagio from The Hague. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, more voices from activists at the Hague protest. Stay tuned after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. Question today.
What is the best advice you have ever gotten?
I got an advice from my mom. She encouraged me to work hard. That she told me a very successful woman is a very hard-working woman.
The great one I can remember is the one my father gave to me to study hard. Actually, he was on his, I can say, maybe a deathbed. He was so ill. He had stroke and he was so helpless. He couldn't do anything for me. That was the last day I even saw him. He was like, my son, study hard.
Is from my father. He has always told me that I shouldn't be afraid to learn new things and to take up new challenges, because he said that you're only afraid to take up new challenges when you haven't tried it.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Maysa Ateb Ahmed Mohammed is another activist at the protest. She is a member of the Sudanese community in the diaspora. She says she applauds the trial of Ali Kusheb, but would like to see what she calls the real criminals brought to the Hague-based court.
We wish the real criminals, and certainly not only Kusheb, he only executed order given to him. The real criminals are in Khartoum, and will not be certified until they brought here to ICC. So Kusheb is the only beginning of achieving justice, where the criminals are still in Khartoum, killing people all over Sudan.
Mohammed, who works in the legal office of the Sudanese community in the diaspora, says Sudanese people know the real culprits behind the killings of innocent civilians in Darfur and other parts of Sudan.
Those are the leaders of Inqas government, Omar al-Bashir, Al-Fattah, Al-Burhan, Hemeti, who are in the power now. The leader of Inqas government are the real criminal that instituted a system of killing and starvation of Sudanese people.
She says she has little hope that the current military leaders in Sudan would never hand Bashir over to the ICC. Mohammed says the Sudanese people will continue to protest until they overthrow the military government in Sudan and make sure justice is achieved for the victims.
The current government is the same criminal government that will not surrender al-Bashir, which is why Sudanese people are currently out a revolution against them right now, because they themselves must be handed over to the ICC. So they are scared and they are protecting their leaders, Bashir and other criminals who are now in their prison. All of them would not want to face justice, and they will never come in their own. But the Sudanese revolution are capable of uprooting those people and bring them to criminal court.
That was Ateb Ahmed Mohammed, a Sudanese legal expert. She was speaking with me from The Hague earlier today. The leader of the National Congress Party and former Sudanese foreign minister has called for unity among different Sudanese communities to move the country forward. Ibrahim Ganduri, who spent 2 years in prison for allegedly committing crimes against the country, including terrorism, was set free by a court in Khartoum on Thursday. Michael Atit reports for VOA from Khartoum.
Professor Ganduri and 12 other members of the National Congress Party, or NCP, were arrested in June 2020 and have been detained since that time until yesterday. Speaking to reporters on Thursday shortly after being released, Gandur praised the Sudanese judiciary for proving he and his colleagues are innocent of all charges leveled against them. Gandur calls the day he was released historic in the history of Sudan's justice. He called on all Sudanese political parties to unite for the sake of a smooth transition to democratic rule in Sudan. He says, our country needs every individual and we need to take care of it. We need to remember, Gandur says, that this is not the first time mass revolution or a military coup that took place in our country. We witnessed it in October 1964 and in April 1985, and we were all part of it. We need to see all Sudanese people be part of the political incubator during the transitional period. is speaking to this program by phone in Khartoum. Al-Sunusi Ahmed, one of the defense lawyers for Gandour and his colleagues, says the defendants were freed because the court could not find any concrete evidence that could lead to their conviction. Ahmed says Gandour and his colleagues were charged with Articles 5 and 6 of the Terrorism Act, Article 51 of the Panel Act, which includes violence against the country. He also says they were charged with Article 50 of the Panel Act, inciting violence against a constitutional system, and Article 31 of the Terrorist Act, financing the terrorists. Ahmed says all charges were dismissed against the defendant. He praised the court for ordering that Gandour and his colleagues be released. He says this shows that the judiciary in our country is still independent. We still have judges that are independent who continue to work in accordance to the law. He says this judge has tried his level best, not only for freeing our defendants, but to observe the law and to serve justice. Gandour, who heads the National Congress Party, served as Sudan's foreign minister during the time of ousted President Omar al-Bashir. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
From Khartoum, we move to Juba, where the National Transitional Committee, or NTC, is urging parties to the 2018 peace agreement to submit the list of their nominees for the Unified Security Forces Command. The co-chair of the Joint Defense Board said at a news conference they are looking forward to the unification of the forces. David Monodanga has more for VOA from Juba.
Thoy Shoye Reth, Deputy Chief of South Sudan's Defense Forces and co-chair of the Joint Defense Board, says the recent agreement by the parties on the security mechanisms should speed up formation of the command structure and graduation of the forces.
On behalf of CDF and the command of SSVDF, we direct all forces to cease the hostilities and uphold the cessation of hostility agreement. Long live South Sudan, long live SSVDF, long live comrades, long live all of us.
Speaking at the security mechanisms meeting before the news conference, Tutkeo Gatluak, head of the National Transitional Committee, says the unified command structure of the army will be formed starting next week. He says the commanders will then go to the training centers to finalize the graduation of the unified forces. General Julius Tabule, co-chair of the Joint Defense Board representing the South Sudan Opposition Alliance, says the screening of forces has been completed.
What is left technically undone, what is left undone is graduation of those forces. The figures are there, they are about 50,000 altogether in the many training centers, and this includes the army, police, national security, prisons, wildlife, and fire brigade or civil defense. The issue of ranks has been worked upon. That's how the unification process was done.
On Thursday, deadly clashes broke out between the SPLA-IO and the Kit Gwang faction under the command of General Simon Gatluak in the Mirmir and Mayen areas of Unity State. Lieutenant General Gabriel Duop Lam, Acting Chief of General Staff of the SPLA-IO and co-chair of the Joint Defense Board, says the Security Mechanism Board will dispatch a committee to stop the fighting.
The issue of insecurity in Koj and the areas of Mayud need to be addressed very urgently by the JDV. And I want to tell you that we are going to have a small meeting at the level of command of the two forces and our security authorities so that we form a committee to go down and cease the fire.
The recent clashes in Unity State left 32 people dead. Officials say nearly 300 head of cattle were stolen and several houses in villages in and around Mirmir were also set on fire. For VOA News, I am David Monodanga in Juba.
Next is an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The dissemination of disinformation is one of Russia's most important and frequently used weapons. It is an easy, inexpensive way to destabilize governments and sow doubts within a population. The government of Russia has developed a disinformation and propaganda ecosystem that creates and spreads false narratives in support of the Kremlin's goals. Any and every event or policy around the globe may be weaponized through lies and distortion. Lately, this has particularly been true of Ukraine. The attacks reached a crescendo in late 2021 and early 2022 as Russia prepared to invade Ukraine. We saw a significant effort to push propaganda against Ukraine, NATO, and the United States, said Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
That includes malign social media operations, the use of overt and covert online proxy media outlets, the infection of disinformation into TV and radio programming, hosting conferences designed to influence attendees into falsely believing that Ukraine, not Russia, is at fault for heightened tensions in the region, and the leveraging of cyber operations to deface media outlets and conduct hack and release operations, that is, hacking and then releasing private data and communications.
The only way we can counteract disinformation, propaganda, and distortion of facts is by telling the truth, refuting disinformation claims before they can take hold, correcting misperceptions after they have become established, and exposing agents and proxies of disinformation to discredit their false claims. This is what the United States and our allies have done to counter Russia's propaganda against Ukraine. We saw a staged political theater in Moscow, outlandish and baseless claims that Ukraine was about to invade and launch a war against Russia, that Ukraine was prepared to use chemical weapons, that Ukraine committed a genocide without any evidence, said President Joe Biden. So we've been transparent with the world.
We've shared declassified evidence about Russia's plans and cyber attacks and false pretexts so that there could be no confusion or cover-up about what Putin was doing.
The declassification and release to the public of intelligence about Russia's plans was an unprecedented move that blunted Vladimir Putin's attempts to establish a misleading pretext for his premeditated, unprovoked, and unjustified war against Ukraine. There is truth and there are lies. Lies told for power and for profit, said President Biden. And each of us has a duty and responsibility to defend the truth and to defeat the lies.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
That's all we prepared for you this Friday. We would like to welcome our listeners on 89.6 Hope FM in Kajokeji Town in Central Equatorial State to the family of VOA affiliate stations around the country. We now end this show with the song Sambala Sambala by Genesis the Veteran.
Saba saba, the sunu ji wore ji baga nazara, no pure saba saba, moji kuli adenda kotolu tuda, no pure saba saba, moji kuli su adenda kotolu tuda, anyara na suna mede na kadita kodi da bini mede na suna mani yelunga, yara na toyo ya na kodi na galondi ta kodi bini mede na suna mani ya, ta biki na maji kasumirunda kuli ngela suna wore tu sambala.
We've been listening to Genesis the Veteran and the song Sambala Sambala. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for taking time to be with us. Remember to join us next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Sambala, sambala.
Veteran Deacon Nation, we sing for the nation, you know. In the Sambala side, yo. I don't want a Sambala movement. Stick to your responsibilities. Avoid some bad, bad, bad combination. But you call on here, Juba, Rwanda, Burundi, Kenya. Yes, I ran inside a man. What you call him, Olu, then go down to down. Then and then, don't money, then and then, don't money, then and then. Indeed.